And hello there. Welcome back to the Panic Podcast. We're getting a little more efficient. We've got some opening and closing music. This is actually, it's kind of a humorous score. It's from a kind of a funny movie back in the 70s called Sleuth. Don't know how many of you have seen it. It's a pretty good movie. But anyway, welcome to the today's edition of the Panic Podcast, and we're glad you're here. I'm going to try to do one Panic Podcast per day for the duration of the lockdown in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And things might get a lot worse because I've noticed that at the federal level, they're starting to talk about a national lockdown. So I don't know how much more the American society is going to take before people get a little tired of looking at the four walls of their home. For some of us, the lockdown lasted about 24 hours and then we were out of the house. But anyway, what I've decided to do after some careful consideration and thought and prayer is to redo the Psalm 119 teachings. Now, for members of my congregation, you've already sat through these. We've got, I think we've put up 19, 20, 21, 22, something like that, and audio versions of those teachings. And I'm going to go back and redo teachings 1 through 19 or whatever it is. But as I say, if you're members of my church that sat through these on the Wednesday nights, we started last fall, I guess it was, feel free to turn this off and tune in tomorrow, and there should be an original podcast up. So what I'm going to try to do is this. We'll do, normally what happens in my church is I do one sermon and two Bible studies per week. And those will be turned into a video sermon. So there'll be a video sermon that will go up sometime on Sunday. And then there'll be 5 podcasts Monday through Friday. 2 of them will be original and 3 of them will be for members of my church, like reruns. Now for the rest of you, and that's most of you, most of the people that listen to this don't come to my church. These will all be original. So you can forget that I said all of this stuff. This is just for the benefit of the members of my church. So we're going to look at Psalm 119. We'll look at the very first, section, and that's verses 1 through 8. So run and get your Bibles. And come on back. And just while you're getting your Bibles and while you're turning to Psalm 119, I want to explain why I'm doing this. The Bible is a book, but it's more than a book and it's more than a collection of books. It's a spiritual book. And the Word of God heals people and the Word of God saves people. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is what changes lives. And I think that what people need now, what believers need now more than ever, is more of the Word of God. And so in my own way, what I'm trying to do with the Lord's help is to offer some encouragement using the Word of God. And I know that you can go to YouTube and a lot of these celebrities are doing these feel-good video things, and that's fine. And I think, you know, you ought to turn the news off and you ought to turn into some good news, and you can watch your cat videos or dog videos or, you know, celebrities telling heartwarming stories or whatever. And that's good. That's helpful. But there's nothing as helpful as the Word of God because it's spiritual in nature. And, so every day I'm going to try to do about a 20 minute to 30 minute, teaching on Psalm 119. And then the current series of Bible studies that we're doing in the church, and then some other teachings as well, all designed to just be an encouragement to you. And what I would like you to do, though, is listen along and study along. And if you have a mind to, click on the link below the audio player in your web browser. Click on that, and it'll take you to our church's online giving page. And if you're feeling so inclined, if you're feeling generous, why not make a donation to the church? All churches are, I guess they're suffering a little bit with, with giving being down. We're probably a little luckier than most, or more fortunate than most. Luck has nothing to do with it. We've got a very faithful congregation, but if you'd like to give and contribute to our church, please feel free to chuck in $5 or $10 or whatever the Lord lays on your heart. I don't get any of it. This doesn't go to my pocket. This goes to the church's general operating fund. All right. Okay, so assuming you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Psalm 119. The 119th Psalm has the distinction of being the longest Psalm in the Bible and the longest chapter of any book in the Bible. Now, most of you probably know that this Psalm is all about God's Word, but it's not the only Psalm that exalts God's Word. Psalm 1 and Psalm 19 also recount the wonder of the law of God. Now, we don't know who wrote Psalm 119, but scholars believe the author could have been David or Daniel or maybe even Ezra. It's likely that one of these men of God wrote it, but whomever it was, the author appears to have been suffering just like we all suffer. Just listen to these verses. Verse 23, though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Verse 25, I'm laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. Verse 28, my soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Verse 50, my comfort in my suffering is this, your promise preserves my life. Those are all handpicked verses from Psalm 119, and maybe you feel like that sometimes. Well, this is a good book of the a psalm to study when you're feeling weary, when you're feeling sorrowful, when you're feeling laid low in the dust, when you're feeling like you need some comfort. Psalm 119 is an excellent psalm to read. There are 22 divisions or sections or strophes in Psalm 119, each containing 8 lines or 8 verses each. This is also an acrostic psalm, with each division starting with a letter, the particular letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so the section continues until all 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet are used up in order. In all, as you read Psalm 119, you'll notice that there are 8 words that the psalmist uses to refer to God's word. And in various forms, you'll read these words: law, testimonies, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, word, and ordinances. Those all refer to the word of God. So let's turn to verse 1, beginning with the very first section, the Aleph section of Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Now, the first verse of Psalm 119 begins in a very familiar way, using a very familiar word, blessed. Now, most Bible readers are aware that blessed means happy, but it actually is a little more powerful than that. It's like happy in the plural. And God blesses God blesses his people, and he blesses them, enable for them to enjoy many happy experiences. Over in the New Testament, we read this in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, among other things, joy is something that the Holy Spirit gives you. Joy is not naturally in a human being. It is a fruit of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit puts it in you. And Jesus wants his people to be joyful people. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and it is the result of the Holy Spirit's presence in a believer's life. So if you're a Christian, you ought to be a joyful person. All right? Now, the world has a version of this fruit of the Spirit. They call it the happy hour. But God's version of the happy hour is meant to last a lifetime, not just an hour. So every day and in every way, the believer has it all over the unbeliever in terms of joy. Now, not that you notice it. There are plenty of Christians who don't look very joyful walking into church on a Sunday morning. Now, here's the thing about the joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. You must allow it to take over your life. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit must be allowed to grow. And if you haven't experienced the joy of the Lord, it's because you've not been cultivating that fruit of the Spirit. How is this related to being blessed or blessed in Psalm 119? Well, not all of God's people experience this abundance of happy. Only those whose ways are blameless and who walk according to the law of the Lord. Throughout the Bible, there are 99 references to people being blameless. Are you blameless? Now, you could be, because blameless does not mean perfect or without fault. Let me read verse 1 from the Amplified version of the Bible. How blessed and favored by God are those whose way is blameless, those with personal integrity, the upright, the guileless, who walk in the law and who are guided by the precepts and revealed will of the Lord. In other words, a believer who lives a moral and ethical life, guided by the Word of God, will experience this abundance of happiness. And this makes complete sense. A person, any person, reaps what they sow. And if you sow seeds of misery and anger and the like, then you're not going to reap any kind of happiness. But if you go around sowing seeds of honor and integrity and honesty and joyfulness and happiness and things like that, then that's what you're going to reap. God will make sure of it. Okay, verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. Now, the multiplied happiness continues. As long as a believer pays attention to God's word, doing what it says. The happy believer is the one who lives for the sake of God. And that's a rare person in our narcissistic culture, where everything we see encourages us to live for ourselves. But as we learn to live for God, we will reap the reward of happiness. The Hebrew word translated seek is describing an intense effort to discover the person of God. This kind of believer has figured out a very profound truth. Obeying God is not just their duty, although it certainly is that, but it's also their delight. The happy Christian orders his life around the Word of God and lives in such a way as to please God. But now there's more than that. Verse 3 continues, they do no wrong, but follow his ways. The blameless strenuously avoid what is wrong. God's way is always the right way. And if a believer strays from God's way, then he's going to go the wrong way. The Hebrew word is really perverse, and it's a good word to go against the will of God and God's word. Because to go against God's will and to go against God's word is to go against God's character. And it's perverse when a Christian who's supposed to be mirroring God's character lives in such a way as to mock it. God does no wrong, so his people shouldn't either. Verse 4, you've laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. God has told us and shown us the best way to live. The word is really fully, and it's yet another powerful Hebrew word which suggests greatly. Christians ought to be going after God's word and holding nothing back. These precepts God has laid down are not his suggestions or his opinions, but his commandments, his commands, and his expectations for his people to follow. The Lord calls his people to live in obedience to his word, and he expects them to do so in a thoughtful, serious way. Now, if you stop reading at verse 4, you'd probably go away feeling depressed. Because if you're honest with yourself, there's no way you're living up to God's expectations. Hands up if you are doing everything right in your life. Let's see those hands. That's what I thought. Nobody. Since I doubt there are any hands in the air anywhere in the world, let's quickly move on to verse 5, because with this verse, the author puts some much needed perspective into the mix. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. The implication of verse 5 is pretty clear. The psalmist isn't, in fact, perfect in his obedience. He's just like you are. Sometimes he's living right, sometimes he isn't. But to his credit, and hopefully to yours too, he desperately wants to live a consistently obedient life. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. This prayer, this verse is like a prayer from the heart. More accurately, it's a cry from the heart of one of God's people who's really serious about the Word of God and about living according to the Word of God. There's nothing he'd like more than to live exactly the way God wants him to. But he's realistic about it. He knows he can't. Now, later on in this psalm, he hits the nail on the head. Look at verse 36, just down the page a little bit. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. That's verse 36. Turn my heart toward your word. The psalmist knows he can't do it on his own, and he knows the Lord must help him, and so he prays accordingly. And this is a true wonder of God's word. It serves many purposes. In the New Testament, we read this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and it's a very familiar verse. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's word, that the Bible that you're holding in your hands, is alive and active. And I would add that it can multitask. It does all kinds of things in the life of the believer at the same time. It teaches you how to live, and it exposes your weaknesses. Yeah, God does expect an awful lot from you, but he will help you to give him what he wants. God's word isn't like any self-help book. It's alive and it's active. It is not just a collection of words and stories. It's like a living organism that does a lot of things all at once. The word of God. Living in obedience to God's word results in all manner of things happening in a believer's life. Verse 6 just gives us one. Psalm 119, verse 6. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. For a Christian, not to be living in obedience to God's word is embarrassing. He's an embarrassment to himself. He's an embarrassment to his church, and he's an embarrassment to God. It's a shameful display when somebody who calls himself a Christian departs from the teachings of the Bible. John Calvin observed that God's word is like a mirror. As we look into it, we see the way we really are. And the word of God shows us that we are sinful when we are disobedient. And this should lead us to repent and draw closer to God. And as we do God's will, our shame is taken away. The Bible never condemns and the conscience never accuses when we are taking the teachings of Scripture seriously and trying to order our lives around them. It's really hard to approach the Lord when you're ashamed about something you've done or acts that you're trying to hide from everybody. But when you're striving to live right and do right, worship of God comes easier, and rather than trying to hide from him, you'll feel free to approach him. Verse 7, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. This is why those believers who have strayed from God's word can't be bothered with coming to church, and they have no desire to fellowship with other believers. You can tell a lot about a person by looking at the company they prefer. A person without an upright heart and who is not learning God's righteous laws doesn't want to praise God, and he doesn't want to be in the company of God's people. Conversely, the more a believer reads and studies the word of God and endeavors to do what it tells him to do, the more often you'll find him in church with other believers. And something else this verse tells us is very chilling. Genuine worship and praise of God includes learning God's righteous laws. Now, we don't often think about this, but time spent in study and in meditation of the Bible not only prepares us to worship God, but is itself a form of worship. And so the psalmist vows that he will do just that. However, making a vow to God is a very serious thing. And so in the very next verse, it's the conclusion of this section of Psalm 119, he says, I will obey your decrees, do not utterly forsake me. I will obey your decrees, do not utterly forsake me. It is only by God's grace that any of us can keep any vow or promise we make to the Lord. Where would any of us be without God's presence in our lives? And so in verse 8 ends with a plea that the Lord would never forsake him. We know that God would never forsake us, but the cry of the psalmist's heart was that no matter what, God would never, ever give up on him. The Aleph section, the first section of this great psalm, teaches us that God's word blesses us as we do what it tells us. How does God's word bless us? Well, four ways in sum. The Bible keeps us, close to the Lord as we seek him with all of our heart. The Bible keeps us from sin, verse 3. The Bible takes away our shame, verse 6. And the Bible leads us to praise and worship the Lord, verses 7 and 8. The Bible is the most amazing book ever written. It will change your life. Now, there are a lot of good books out there, a lot of really good self-help books out there. That if you read them, they can, give you good things to think about and good habits to practice in your life. But only the Bible has the power to change you from the inside out. But it won't do anything if it's just sitting on your table unopened. You've got to pick it up. You've got to read it. You've got to study it. And you've got to put it to work in your life. Why don't you try that? You're all stuck at home anyway, right? I mean, it's not like you can go anywhere. There's no sports to watch on TV. Pick up the Bible. Read it. It will make a difference as you're locked down at home. It'll make you into a better person. It'll make you a whole lot easier to live with. Listen, thanks for tuning in on this, panic podcast today. I'm going to let, the great Eddie Haywood, take us out with, Canadian sunset. There's nothing like a Canadian sunset. For all of you Canadian listeners, thanks for tuning in. God bless all of you. We'll see you back here with another Panic podcast real soon.